Great to see you all.
If you are a guest with us today, it's our great honor to welcome you. My name is Miles. I'm one of the pastors on the team here at Elevation. We're actually one church in six locations, starting in Redlands, GCTC, Hills, Penrith, and Melbourne. And it's great, my great honor to serve those locations. Let me give you a little update. Things are going great. Churches are growing. They're healthy. People are getting saved. Guests are coming. And it's just a wonderful season of God's favor and blessing at Elevation under the great leadership of Ross and Kathy. And I thank them for allowing me to share God's word with you today and really having an impact in our church. And I also want to ththank you guys. It's your willingness to release me and Ross to expand God's kingdom through Elevation. And what's happening out there in these other five locations, you don't maybe see it. I see it. And it's remarkable what God is doing. It's mind-blowing, the growth, the expansion that's happening so quickly. And I just want to reinforce to you that it's because of you. GC was where it started, and we recognize that. And Ross and I are so grateful for this great location full of great, competent people. And God wants to do more. And thank you for serving and giving and praying and showing up. Your faithfulness is making a difference in eternity. You have a piece of the action that's happening out there at all six locations. So thank you. Things are growing well. We're looking forward to all that God has for us at Elevation, especially what He has for us here at our Gold Coast location. Thanks for Josiah and Liv for all they're doing, serving this great location, serving you guys. All right, let's jump in today. We're doing a little exploratory teaching. Exploratory teaching. A little different to normal inspirational teaching. Exploratory teaching is when you take a big, fat piece of scripture and you break it apart. You just go through the whole chapter. Judges 4 is where we're going to look in depth today. And I believe we're all going to be impacted, inspired as I have been. I believe God's calling us out. Great song to sing. Today, we're learning about a courageous, fearless, bold, strong-minded, wise, outspoken woman that had great intuition and also great inspiration. She was a prophetess, a ruler, a warrior, a writer, and a wife. Her name was Deborah. I believe she'll challenge all of us today. A bunch of scripture to get through in the next 30 minutes, so let's get to work. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Who through what? Say this with me. Who through faith? Again, say it with me. Who through faith? One more time. Who through faith? These great people of Scripture, not through their ability, not through their talent, not through their good looks, not through their inheritance or their family name, but through faith, what did they do? They conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness and became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. This account in Hebrews of these Old Testament heroes is what God is showing by faith can be done. What's interesting as we study these individuals in this series, all of them had inadequacies. Every single one of them had an issue. They had something that could have defined them and held them back. And this series is really a story of how we overcome our inadequacies to step into all that God has for us. Last week we heard of Ehud, the left-handed warrior, the left-handed. Wasn't that nice if you're left-handed to get a bit of honor, finally? Praise the Lord. About time we're recognizing the lefties, the goofy footers. About time we honored the great men and women of God, the left-handers. I'm a bit biased. And how this Lefty killed Hefty, right? The big fat king, he killed him with his sword. And we won't go back to that story. Ross did a very detailed account of what happened there. We don't want to lose our lunch or our breakfast, so let's keep on going. Well, today we're picking up the story, chapter 4, Judges, verse 1. Let's go. After Ehud's death, the Israelites again did evil in the Lord's sight. Funny, hey, they did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord returned them over to King Jabin of Hazor, a Canaanite king. The commander of the army was Sisera. Now, Sisera had 900 chariots. What's going on here? Well, God had chosen his people, the Israelites, to follow him. And often they would turn their backs on their God, get distracted, and start following other things. We call them idols. Anything you put before God is an idol. And then they would start sinning. They would then become slaves to that sin. They would call out to God to deliver them. He would be faithful and just and come and rescue them. They would rejoice, only to, after another season, turn their back on God and sin again. Isn't that interesting how all through the Old Testament, there was this cycle that continued? And we are no different today. How many times have we in our faith and our journey with Christ called out on him when things are in trouble, things go great, and we easily forget our God? We start doing life our own way. We kind of think we've got it together. And sure enough, God doesn't want us to live without him. And so he gets our attention and we come back to him. So my answer is this: call out to God quickly. As soon as you see yourself drifting, call on him to restore your relationship. It's something we do every day. Never get on cruise control. You can't do it in your marriage. You can't do it with your kids. And you can't do it with a relationship with God in heaven. And it's interesting that here we see Sisera, which was the commander of the Canaanite king who overtook the Israelites and put them into slavery. He had, in verse 3, 900 chariots, and he ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. 20 years he is ruthlessly oppressing the Israelites. Then the people of Israel cried out to God for help. My question is, why didn't they cry out earlier? Why did they wait 20 years to say, okay, it's not working, I think I need... Why do we wait so long? Why do we try to fix things and control and manipulate relationships and Facebook and emails and try to do it all? Why don't we call out to God quicker when things aren't working out the way we think they should? Spiritual maturity is measured by the length of time it takes you to repent when you sin. Spiritual maturity isn't how good you are. It's how long it takes for you to realize, okay, I'm drifting, I need to refocus. Okay, God, I'm getting away from you, I need to come back under your guidance, under your leadership. Judges 4, verse 4, will continue on. Here we come, Deborah. Here she is. Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at the time. Now, that's a big-time job in Israel. That's considered one of the highest government positions of the land. If you are judging, you're giving advice to the nation. She would sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites would go to her for judgment. So all the Israelites that had problems and disputes would come to this one prophetess where she would hear from God and give direction and an answer. Huge responsibility, huge role. And she did this for something like years and years and years. One day, verse 6, she sent for Barak and she said to him, "This is what the Lord God of Israel commands you." Who's Barak? Well, Barak is one of the military leaders of Israel. She calls to Barak and she says, "Call out 10,000 warriors, and I will call out Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army." That's the bad guy. You with me? "Along with his chariots and warriors to the Kishon River." Why the Kishon River? Well, we'll find out in a few verses later, very strategic. There, I will give you victory over him. Barak told her, I will go, but only if you go with me. I'm not sure that I can take the enemy out on my own. I'll go, but only if you go with me. Barak balked at the calling and needed encouragement. You see, we don't have a problem believing God can do great things. We just have a problem believing God can do great things through us. And so Barak's thinking, okay, that sounds good, lady prophetess who's got it all together and she knows all the things of God, but I'm not sure I want to do that on my own. How about you go with me? And today, maybe you need to ask someone to go with you. Maybe you have a calling on your life to minister and you don't know where to go. I love that story of the life groups, that woman who had a calling to make a difference in sex trafficking. What did she do? She went to a life group to ask for help. Maybe you need some help with your teenage kids. We have a great youth ministry at the GC that can get into their lives and minister to your children. Maybe you need help in your marriage. There are professional Christian counselors. There are great prayer warriors. Maybe in your health, in your body, in your future. Sometimes we need some help. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we need some support. Sometimes we hear things that God wants us to do and we're thinking, nah, that's impossible. The army is too great. The opposition is too big. But when we get support, I believe we become unstoppable. When we have people in our corner who are behind us and with us. But the key is you've got to ask for it. I tell all the guys at Elevation, all the pastors, ask for help. Don't try and do this thing on your own. The strength you have is the ability to ask for help. Ross and I are here to serve you, to be in your corner. Ask for help. If you have a business, your employees, teach them to ask for help. They're better when they learn, when they grow from you. So the key for us is we need to ask for help when we need it. Judges 11. Now, Hebner, the Canaanite, a descendant of Moses' brother-in-law, Hobab, had moved away from other members of his tribe and pitched his tent by the oak of Zanamin near Kedesh. Now, this is a strange verse that completely digresses from the story that we've just been on about Sisera and Barak and Deborah. Here we're going to discover that there is a married couple that's upset with Israel. They can't get on with them. So they take off with their little caravan pulled by their little Toyota, and they're off in the desert and they're hiding out. Now we're going to find out why God put this scripture in this story a little bit later. Verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you. So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slopes of Mount Tabor into the battle where Barak attacked. The Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and warriors into a panic. Sisera leapt from his chariot and escaped on foot. Then Barak chased the chariots and the enemy army all the way to a big, long name that I cannot pronounce, killing all the Sisera warriors, not a single one was left alive. How on earth did this victory happen? Remember, we have this little army of 10,000 warriors who are farmers, by the way. They've been under slavery for 20 years. Their opposing army is 100,000 strong. But bigger than that, they have 900 iron chariots. Now these chariots were like a modern-day tank of the day. They would literally mow down foot soldiers as they'd attach knives to the wheels and just drive through these armies. They were a killing machine, the most powerful weapon of the day. And all of a sudden, this little army goes up against this huge enemy. And we read that they have victory. How on earth did this happen? Well, this fight took place, as I said earlier, in the Kishon River. And we find out in chapter 5 that God sent a hailstorm and also an unseasonable flood to hit the river. So when these warriors and their chariots went down, the weighty iron chariots were bogged in the mud, threw them into a panic. And we see that Sisera leapt from his chariot, that's the commander, and escaped on foot. Why? Because the chariot couldn't move. It was stuck in the mud. Don't underestimate what God is doing when he goes before you. Don't underestimate that God is setting something up that you can't see. That they didn't know the chariots would get bogged in this riverbed. That they didn't know that their greatest weapon would become a liability. That they didn't. All they had was a word from a prophetess to go and defeat this enemy. That's why in Hebrews, it's by faith. And that's why today, it's by faith. It's not by our resources. It's not by our wisdom. It's not by our gifts and ability. It's always by faith when it comes to doing great things for God. God loves to stretch us and put us in a place where we don't have the answers so he can get the glory. And the victory cannot be owned by ourselves. And we see that sometimes in life, not much is happening. Can I tell you, it's raining. The riverbed is getting wet and muddied. God is marching ahead, preparing the victory for us in our lives, in our businesses, in our families, in our ministries, in our future. Don't underestimate that God is marching for us. Meanwhile, we'll continue on with the story. Sisera ran, so he's on the run, left the whole army behind, to the tent of Jael, his wife of Heber, the Canaanite, because Heber's family was on friendly terms with King Jabin of Hazor. So we're coming back now to this little man and his wife in the Toyota with their caravan in the desert. Well, the enemy's commander, Sisera, he goes to this family and he actually finds them in the desert. And Jael, who is the wife, she runs out to meet Sisera and says to him, "Come into my tent, sir. Come in. Don't be afraid." So he went into her tent and she covered him with the blanket. So let me try and explain what's happening for those who may be a little lost here. Sisera, the commander of the enemy's army, who had 900 chariots, fled the battlefield and found this husband and wife in the desert, and he's seeking refuge. He's looking for a place to hide. And remember, this husband and wife, they had a problem with their Israelite neighbors. So they were having issues with the family. There was some tension there. They weren't getting along. That's why they went out into the desert. Verse 21. And when Sisera fell asleep from exhaustion, Jael, that's the wife, she quietly crept up to him with a hammer and a tent peg in her hand. Here we go. Whew, Jael. Man, strong woman. Here we go. She drove the tent peg through his temple. Not just through his temple, but then into the ground. Wasn't enough just to kill him. It's into the ground. So he died. Of course, he died. I mean, Jael, this woman, she nailed it. I mean, she just died, gone. I love scripture. It's the best thing to read. This woman just totally annihilates this guy, this great warrior called Sisera. And we're going to learn from this story about these three characters, Deborah, Barak, and Jael. And there's just two points I want us to learn today as we study and unpack this scripture. Number one, women are just as gifted as men. Girls, can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? All right. Honey, remember that? Remember that? Camera. Women are just as gifted. I was going to be really naughty and say something that's inappropriate, and I won't, but we'll be having dinner tonight. Women are just as gifted as men. God, I mean, not just dinner, but what's after dessert is what we're doing. God uses the gifts of two women to deliver Israel and to change history. Two women changed the course of history. I want to inspire some men and some women today as we study these miraculous women of God. Deborah, she was a respected woman. Now check this out. She worked hard day in, day out, listening to whining, complaining, just mean-spirited, people that didn't deserve God's favor and love every day. She faithfully built a reputation of giving wise wisdom that gave her great respect in the land. Notice God just didn't suddenly, poof, she appeared and told Barak what to do. This came after years of faithful serving and advice. Great leadership happens when no one watches. Great leadership happens behind the scenes. Great leadership is consistency. It's building a great reputation. It's building a great legacy. It's being faithful in the little, and then God will draw you up to do great things. It's doing what you need to do. She earned the trust of her people. She was faithful. That's why when she went to Barak, the commander, and told him to get 10,000 warriors, he said, hey, you better come with me. She was esteemed in their eyes. For us, as men and women of God today, it's no different. We need to be faithful day in, day out. We need to be reliable. We need to be consistent. We need to have a great name, a great legacy that we leave. We need to be able to be looked up to, not flighty and up and down and all over the place, consistent, grounded, day in, day out. She's walking to that palm tree thinking, oh my goodness, who am I going to hear from today? Some guy's upset with his neighbor about some goat, and she's probably frustrated and she's annoyed, but faithfully, she proved her worth by acting on her gifts day in, day out. The second woman that we look at today is Jael. It was actually the woman's role in those days to hammer the tent pegs into the ground and set the camping deal up. I think that's awesome because I'm no good at it. I got to take Gary with me. I don't know where the tent pegs go, and I get the it's going to have sand ones and metal ones. It's complicated. So in those days, it was the woman's responsibility as they traveled to around, because that's what they did. They moved around as they were herding sheep and flocks of animals. The woman would actually set up camp. So she was very skilled with a hammer and a tent peg. This wasn't the first time she held a hammer or a tent peg. She had done it hundreds of times, if not thousands, moving around, setting up the tent peg. A different gift, but she'd been faithful in that gift. She was a wife. She was a homemaker. Notice when Sisera went to see them, she welcomed them and she had a place for him to stay. She had her house in order. She had food for him. She refreshed him with some goat's milk, and she kept her house in order. And it was that established lifestyle or healthy running of a home that created this environment for this great victory to happen. So she operated in her gifts. Her gifts was hammering in tent pegs, and she did it through the guy's head. I mean, you got to know what your gift is. Deborah was gifted as a prophetess. Jael was gifted as a homemaker. Know your gift. Don't try and be a Deborah if you're a Jael. Don't try and be a Jael if you're a Deborah. Find out your gift. Be faithful in it. Do it well. Do your gift. So often in church world, we just want God to show up and do a miracle. But the more you study Scripture, God is more concerned about His people growing and developing and exercising their muscles of faith by being faithful and obedient that these miracles happen. Two different women, two different gifts, both used to deliver Israel. Ladies, you are not called to just sit on the sidelines and cheer the men on. You are gifted. You are called. You are just as gifted as men. In a lot of controversy in history about women in leadership, listen, Deborah was the number one leader of the judges that 350 years before the kings came through. She was the top. She was in authority. She had a gift that God had. And that was in a time when women were considered second-class citizens. She was anointed and she was gifted. And women, you got to understand, you're no different today. There are some ladies here today, and you have a drive to be successful in business, to lead the marketplace in a way that honors God and influences others. Go for it. Some of you have a yearning to make a difference with your gifting to serve God and start a ministry or volunteer in an agency. Use it. We make room for you. We cheer you on. We encourage you. Lead a life group. Get involved in ministry at the church. We are passionate about people fulfilling God's calling by using their gifting. You have a passion to raise your children, to be world changers. Use that passion. Don't feel shameful or guilty about it. You have an organized household where you bring security and you build up and encourage your kids and you call them out to be used by God for His glory. You operate in your gifted. You do what you are good at. Be yourself. Don't feel you've got to measure up to anyone else. Some ladies need to hear this. Don't compare yourself. Don't measure up. I need to be like that woman. I need to be like that woman. I need to be like that. You be you. You be you. You be you. Don't try and be someone you're not. You find fulfillment in being obedient to God, because He alone is the only one who can fulfill you anyway. So often we try and please others, hoping that would fulfill us. Only God can fulfill that void inside of us of contentment, of satisfaction, of success. So you be you and let God fulfill you. You be you and let God fulfill you. You are free to be who God made you to be. Use your gifts. We will cheer you on at Elevation. We will encourage you and support you. And for some, it's time to step out. And this is like a wake-up call. Because if you don't use the gift God has given you, you are robbing the kingdom of God from what He wants to do in and through you. Today's the day for you to step out. Number one, women are just as gifted as men. Second thought is this: communities prosper when leaders lead. Communities prosper when leaders lead, and that doesn't have to be a male. Leadership is not subjected to male or female. Leadership is a gift. Leadership is an ability. We see in chapter 5 that music and singing were cherished parts of Israel's culture. So the whole next chapter 5 is a song written to celebrate the success and the victory. And it's an interesting song that we're going to look at today. Judges 5 verse 2. Israel's leaders took charge and the people gladly followed. Isn't that cool? Leaders take charge and then people follow. Praise the Lord, my heart is with the commands of Israel, with those who volunteered for war. Praise the Lord. Deborah begins to list the tribes who stepped out and went to war with Barak. Always value and appreciate those who do the right thing. When it comes to your family and your kids, we beat them down for not doing the right thing. How about we encourage them when they do the right thing? So here she is celebrating those tribes who did the right thing. Great leadership truth there. Just think about it, man. When have I thanked an employee? When have I thanked my spouse? When have I thanked someone who just does something that you take for granted? Great leadership thought. Never lose sight of thankfully thanking those and appreciating those who do the right thing. Let's look at verse 13. They came down from Ephron and a land that once belonged to the Amalekites. They they followed you, Benjamin, with your troops. From Machi, the commanders marched down. And from Zebulun, they came those who carried the command staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah and Barak, and they followed Barak rushing into the valley. So Deborah is explaining those tribes who came down. We celebrate, we appreciate, we value those people. Now Deborah lists those who didn't. Interesting, huh? Great leaders call out those who did, but great leaders will also challenge those who didn't. Verse 13. They came down, verse 16. Yes, in the tribe of Reuben, there was great indecision. The tribe of Reuben didn't come down. The tribe of Reuben, there was great indecision. She's calling them out. Not just them as a person. She's calling out their behavior. She's separating their behavior. They're still Israelites. They're still great men and women of God, but she's calling out the behavior of what? Indecision. Some of you today, maybe God's calling out your behavior of indecision. Double-mindedness. You're talking yourself out of what you know you should do or you should say. You're sitting on the sidelines. There's indecision. When there's faith, there can't be double-mindedness and indecision. Faith is acting on what you believe God has called you to do without the resources to do it. Faith doesn't occur with doubt. They don't coexist. And so here's Deborah calling out Reuben for their indecision. Maybe some of you, a little indecision at the moment. It's time to step out in faith and follow what God's calling you to do. Verse 17, Gilead remained east of the Jordan. East of the Jordan was before they entered the promised land. East of the Jordan refers to comfort and safety and security of the wilderness. East of the Jordan means the past. And some of you are living in the past. It's time to move on. It's time to let go of that spouse that's abandoned you. It's time to let go of that loved one that you've lost. It's time to move on with that business deal that went bad and stop thinking about the money you lost. It's time to move on. Don't camp in that safety of the past, east of the Jordan. Some of you, Deborah's calling you out today. It's time to move on. Indecision, living in the past. And then she says, and why did Dan stay at home? Dan's not a guy, it's the name of a tribe. Asher sat unmoved on the seashore, remaining in the harbor. She's giving great explanation of where they are and why they're staying at home, and they're in the harbor. There are men and women who are lingering in the harbor of comfort instead of fighting on the battlefield. We've got people here in the tribes of Israel with indecision, double-minded, they're confused. We've got people here that are sitting, not knowing where to go. They're living in the past. They're remaining in the harbors. And God is saying to you today, it's time to step up. It's time to step out on those waters. It's time to use your muscles of faith and be the man and woman that God has asked you to be. What is God asking you to fight today? It's amazing that after 20 years of slavery, they're fighting for their freedom. And I don't think we realize as Christians just what we're fighting for. Eternity is a pretty good reminder of what's at stake. Lives, heaven and hell. Eternity. And sometimes we feel we're unqualified. We're facing a huge battle against society. And this little army of 10,000 went up against 100,000 plus 900 chariots. Yet God is far bigger than any army. God is far bigger than any battle. God is far bigger than any opposition you will find. The secret is following God. The secret is hearing from Him and acting on it. It's time for you to be like Deborah and to lead. Maybe it's time to fight for your marriage. Be the first to say sorry. We need help. That I'm going to change. Maybe it's time to fight for your kids, to lead them spiritually, to say time out. This is not working. We need to do something differently. I'm going to call Miles or Josiah and ask for help. And we're here to chat you, help you through that. It's time to fight for people's salvation. This is a big one. This is a big one. There is a war every day for people's eternity. And God has put us as the army to represent him. There's no plan B here. There's no other army that's coming to rescue these people out of this slavery of sin that ultimately lead to hell. We are the ones that are called by God to step out to represent him, to see them saved and loved and cared for. It's not a church issue. It's a kingdom of God issue. Yet so often with indecision or the past or safety or fear or whatever it might be, we pull back. I want to challenge you today. It's time to fight for the salvation of your loved ones. It's time to fight for the salvations of your neighbors. It's time to fight for the salvations of those at uni and college and those at work. It's time that we fight for those who don't know Christ. Fight for the Lord by standing up for him. Fight for the Lord by acting and using your gifts and leading people the way Scripture teaches us. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us today through your Scripture as we study Deborah. What a great woman of God who is so faithful, using her gifts for you, so selfless as she worked day in, day out as a judge. I pray today, Father, that we would be challenged by your Spirit, that we're actually in a war every day for people's eternity, that we would be reminded that this battlefield is not just for pastors, it's for the church. Who's the church? Everybody that calls you as Lord and Savior is the church. Help us to be reminded that the battle wages. It's ferocious. But God, you are greater than any opposition. You're greater than any devil or demon in hell. You are greater than any physical circumstance. You are greater, and you are here to give us the victory as we step out in faith. Father, I pray